This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Wow, 204, Newstalk 580, 105.9 KMJ. Good afternoon and welcome to the Friday installment of your Afternoon Drive. Phone numbers here are 490-5858. Toll free, you can join us at 800-776-5858. On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, you're going to find the show at Drive KMJ. Joshua Weekly is standing by to screen your calls this afternoon as I join E. Curtis Johnson back in the KMJ studio.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Hey, everybody. It is Memorial Day weekend, like you just heard Greg talking about. It is going to be busy, busy, busy on the road, in the airport, however it is you want to get where you're going. God bless you and pack your patience.
But you can't blame people who want to take advantage of a three-day weekend.
No, no, not at all. That's actually one of the interesting parts about this weekend is it's not a controversy. It's a question of etiquette. And it's something that, especially being so fresh off of Honor Flight, it's something that's kind of on my mind. Because, yeah, it's a three-day weekend. Yeah, it's the kickoff to summer. Yeah, you're going to hear people selling cars and furniture and carpet and whatever else they can come up with some kind of clever Memorial Day tie-in for. And it's a holiday meant to honor our war dead. It's not Veterans Day. We have a day for that. It's Memorial Day. And to somebody who's lost someone to a Gold Star family, there's a lot of significance there. So here in, you know, Crazy Zippy at Crazy Zippy's used car lot, ranting and raving about the "I hope you don't forget about me" Memorial Day sale, might feel kind of tasteless.
I have a theory on that, and I got it from my Uncle Curtis, who was a World War II vet.
I'm curious to hear Uncle Curtis's perspective.
And in fact, he was one of the Navy frogmen, which were the precursors to the SEALs.
Oh, yeah.
And Uncle Curtis was, he got the short end of the gene pool on the Johnson height. I'm 6'2", and I'm one of the shorter people in my family.
Oh, wow.
Uncle Curtis was like 5'4".
Oh, no.
And tough as nails.
You'll bet.
But when I was a teenager, I was about 16, 17, we were visiting him, and I asked him about his World War II experience. And he actually brought up Memorial Day. It could have been because it was right after Memorial Day.
Sure.
Now, again, this is the opinion of my Uncle Curtis, one guy who fought in the big war, mm-hmm. World War II. And he said, well, actually, I can't use the actual language he used because his Uncle Curtis was a little more than salty at times. But he essentially said, I didn't put my neck on the line so that everybody else could lay around moping about it. That was, in his language, that was his way of saying, you know, I fought so that everybody could be free.
Yeah.
I fought so that we could live the American life. And again, speaking for nobody other than my Uncle Curtis, but I know my Uncle Kurt would love for me to just sit on my keister on Monday if that's what I choose to do, or whatever I choose to do. The fact is, I have a choice.
Well, and that reflects what I have heard from my friends and family who served. We don't go out there and do this so that everybody can sit in silence staring at a burning candle. Yes, pay your respects. Have that respect. It is a Memorial Day. So get up, go to church, go to a reveille call, go to a cemetery and put flags at graves. Do whatever it is that gives you a moment to meditate on the day. And then go barbecue and play in the pool with your kids, because if you're not doing that, what the hell did we fight for?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of the tone that they take here. This is KTLA and the Associated Press. And the reporter Ben Finley starts out saying, Memorial Day is supposed to be about mourning the nation's fallen service members. but it has come to anchor the unofficial start of summer and a long weekend of discounts and on anything from mattresses to lawnmowers. AAA is saying this year they anticipate more than 42 million Americans will travel more than 50 miles from home, which is why you're seeing the airports reporting the most traffic they've had since the pandemic. It's why you're hearing Greg giving everybody a heads up at 2 p.m. Yep, it's already busy, everybody. Brace yourselves.
Yeah, everybody's getting out of town while they can, early if they can do it.
And then he hits on Manuel Castaneda. He's a 58-year-old man. And his father was a United States Marine who served in Vietnam. While he was training other Marines here in California in 1966. So he actually came back and then got killed in an accident while training.
Oh, that's sad.
And Manuel says, Memorial Day is very personal to me. It's not the specials. It's not the barbecue. But how can I expect someone to understand the depth of what I feel when they haven't experienced it? I think that even Manuel, as much as for him it is not a day to go whoop, whoop, whoop down the street, gets it. I don't hear condemnation. I hear, how can you know what it means to me if it doesn't mean the same to you?
Yeah. If you think about it too, I mean, for example, I don't know how many funerals you've attended or memorials you've attended.
A couple.
I've been to a couple in my day. And the thing that strikes me is most of them have been about life celebrations.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certainly, you know, reverent points, you know, reverent periods, moments in the service or the celebration, whatever it may be. But having attended the funerals, memorial services for friends, I know for a fact they wouldn't have wanted all of us to sit around crying. Now, if people express their emotion in that way, if that's people's outlet, there's nothing wrong with that. But for the friends funerals I've attended, they would have wanted us to get on with life and be happy. Now, again, you know, Memorial Day, you know, it's a significant phrase that denotes someone's life sacrifice, but not everybody celebrates it the same way.
No.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, even the observance itself as sanctioned by the government and embraced by the families of those who made that sacrifice, even that's changed. So you guys probably know that Memorial Day really comes out of the Civil War. And the first observance of something called Decoration Day was May 30th of 1868. And this was an organization of Union veterans who called for the public to join them in decorating the graves of the war dead with flowers. And some of that was just, we've got all these beautiful flowers in bloom, let's do something with them. So even at that point, it had already kind of taken footholds around the country. In Waterloo, New York, they instituted a formal observance in May of 1866, and they do claim to be the birthplace of the holiday. Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania, actually had their first observance in October of 1864, and they say that women in some Confederate states had started decorating graves even before the war was over. So you've got this Yale history professor, David Blight. He looks at May 1st, 1865, when about 10,000 people, including a tremendous part of the black population, held a parade, heard speeches, and rededicated the graves of the Union dead in Charleston, South Carolina. And this was because 267 Union troops had died at a Confederate prison. They had been buried in a mass grave. And it was members of black churches who went and moved them to individual graves to give them a proper Christian burial. I think that wins in terms of commitment to honoring the war dead. I think that relocating them to graves, that's about as hands-on as you can get. Not to make light of it, but I mean, that's a damn sight more of an investment of your time than putting flags out.
Yeah, no, that's a serious commitment and shows where people's hearts are.
So they do kind of bounce around. They talk about the New York Times writing in 1869 that the holiday could become sacrilegious and no longer sacred if too much focus was put on pomp, dinners, and oratory, as they say. In 1871, Frederick Douglass expressed fear that Americans were already forgetting what the Civil War was about when he gave what was then still called a Decoration Day speech at Arlington National Cemetery. I love this. In the 1880s, President Grover Cleveland was said to have gone fishing and the people were appalled. He was excoriated in the press for recreating on what was then still Decoration Day. And so then you had this evolution of Armistice Day becoming Veterans Day and Congress eventually changing Memorial Day from May 30th to the last Monday of May officially. And they just did that in 1971. But in so doing that and creating this three-day weekend, especially at that moment in like the labor movement, it really lent itself to people taking vacations, spending time with their family, engage in a little consumerism, engage in a little capitalism, grill some hot dogs.
But even as far back as the late 1800s, there's historical evidence that people celebrated and partied and had fun. You know, they did things fitting for the times that they lived in, like had foot races and picnics and gatherings. That's what they did in those times.
I have to remind myself sometimes it is an era when the highest form of entertainment in society was a stick and a hoop.
Yeah, when you think about it, and this is no slight or change of subject, but baseball when it first came out was an exciting game.
How dare you?
Now, yeah. I am not taking a slight at baseball. But, it's one of the more slower moving sports today. But for its time, people were riveted to it. Our pace of life has changed, and there's nothing wrong with that.
So Jason Redmond's 48 years old. It sounds like him and your Uncle Curtis would have had a nodding acquaintance in a different timeline. He's a retired Navy SEAL. He served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He says he's going to be thinking about friends that he's lost. He actually has 30 names tattooed on his arm. He says for every guy that he knew personally that died. And he says, I do want you to remember the fallen. And I want you to enjoy yourself. These lives were sacrificed for you to have that freedom and to have this holiday. So across 5 generations, 6 generations, the sentiments aren't identical, and sometimes presidents get into trouble for paddle boating or golfing, but it seems like that sentiment seems to come back around to, we don't put it all on the line so that people can sit around being miserable.
Yeah, and there is some sentiment. There's recognition, and it's an American thing to celebrate and remember in our own individual ways.
There's a lot of events going on around the Valley. We'll tell you about some of them as we make our way through the afternoon. That's E. Curtis Johnson. I'm Philip Teresi. This is your Afternoon Drive at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. This is the Afternoon Drive. That is Philip Tressie. My name is E. Curtis Johnson. We're talking about various ways to honor, celebrate, memorialize Memorial Day, and which, of course, is a day set aside to honor and remember and show respect to people who have, well, given their life for our country. I've been to a couple of different kinds of Memorial Day services. The most formal one that I went to was almost kind of a trip back in time. It was about 1986, 87. We went to my wife's native state, which is Wisconsin. We were up in the northeast corner, almost to the Michigan line, a little town called Niagara, a little town of about 1,800 people. And we went to visit her grandfather, who was getting quite elderly. It was a good time. It was good that we went, because he passed away about 6 months after we left. But the town of Niagara, very, very small Midwestern community, they still had a parade. I mean, it wasn't very fancy, and sure, you know, had, you know, volunteer department, fire department trucks and that sort of stuff, and a couple of Boy Scout troops, and, you know, they did a, you know, salute to the military and the fallen, and you know, a Memorial Day thing. And then everybody in town went to the city cemetery, put flowers out. Some people had picnics on the side, and it was very real, and it was very respectful.
That actually sounds wonderful. I know there's a lot of good stuff going on all around Central California. I think that the general public tends to shy away from stuff at cemeteries. And I don't mean because they're scared that ghosts and goblins are going to get them, but I think because it hits on a different level. It's tough to go back and start, you know, popping beers and throwing the kids in the pool if you spent 2 hours in a, you know, lot full of headstones planting flags.
Yeah, that can be a quick change of mood there for some, and everybody's got to deal with that in their own way. There's no right or wrong to it.
If you are so inclined, 9 o'clock Saturday morning at the Academy Cemetery in Clovis, there will be a Memorial Day service. Out at Red Bank Cemetery, same thing, Saturday, 10:30 a.m. That's, if you're not familiar with the Red Bank Cemetery, that's the one out on East Shaw, not far from Clovis Lakes.
This kind of speaks to what we're talking about also, in that, okay, Memorial Day is Monday, but these are some recognitions taking place on Saturday. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. And then also on Monday, Clovis Cemetery, 9 a.m. There at Herndon Villa. And for a long time, they've been in the habit, the tradition of putting a flag at each headstone. So I'm sure that something in that same vein will probably be the case. Woodward Park, they do kind of a sunrise thing, 5:44 a.m. Monday morning. If you want to get up with the sun, if you want to hear somebody play reveille and hear some folks that have a personal connection to the day, I've been invited to that, and I think that may be the one that I attend this year.
Good choice.
But there's going to be remembrances of all sorts. The Japanese War Memorial in Roding Park is going to host at 9 a.m. Monday. Again, the Clovis Veterans Memorial District. They've got a Memorial Day program that starts at 9 a.m. If I'm not mistaken, they're also doing a car show this weekend, which kind of goes into what we were saying, that, you know, yes, respect should be paid, but one needn't sit and weep as though at a Catholic rosary for 24 continuous hours. Pay your respect, understand what you're there for, and then, God, yes, go have fun with your family.
Yeah, have a party, celebrate, enjoy freedom, exercise freedom, do what you want to do.
So there's a lot of this stuff all over the valley. I'll post a list up that, so you guys can check it out on Facebook at DriveKMJ, Twitter at DriveKMJ as well.
You know, an interesting place to visit if you've never been there, and I don't have the correct name for it. It just kind of popped into my head. It's on the 5 north of Los Banos. It's a military cemetery.
Oh, yeah.
And this is shameful. I cannot remember the name of it. But, boy, that would be that would really be a place to check out if you're out in that neighborhood, particularly for Memorial Day, because it's all former service people, men and women.
Same up in San Bruno. That's actually where my grandfather is interred. He was a World War II veteran. He was entitled to go to Arlington, but my grandmother decided against that and put him in with service members, up the 280 a little ways. That is always a more emotional scene, at least for me, because you're usually in that environment. You're connecting with people who have somebody under that turf.
Yeah, when you know the individual, when you have memories of them, yeah. It's the bitter comes with the sweet also.
So, like I said, we'll share that list. So if you guys are interested in being a part of this, with a group, you can check that out and get out there. But again, I think that Monday morning at Woodward Park, that's probably, if I don't go to the Clovis Cemetery, it'll probably be the early a.m., the 5:45 at Woodward Park. One nice thing about getting to Woodward that early, you can tell them you're with AOWP, then you don't have to pay. Just a little tip.
You avoid the traffic too.
Yeah, if you don't mind looking another human being in the face and pretending that you got a DUI and you're there to pick up garbage, you can get into Woodward Park for free at 5:45.
Oh, that's funny.
I see folks coming in, calling in 490-5858 and 800-776-5858. We'll talk to you guys in just a minute here. We want to see what exactly it is that you've got in mind for the holiday and how you want to spend it. This is not E or I trying to shame anybody for spending the holiday the way that you want to spend it.
We're not in control of this.
Not in control of it. And everybody that I've talked to, the attitude is these people don't make these sacrifices so that you do nothing and you avoid your family. So we'll get to those calls in a couple of minutes. We're going to skip over the news right now. Liz Kern has the afternoon off, and instead we're going to go straight to an update of the afternoon commute. Greg Lane is busy headed into the Memorial Day holiday.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Thank you very much, Mr. Voice Guy. On the edge of a three-day weekend, of course, Memorial Day, to be celebrated, honored, coming up on Monday. You know, one of the things that's been fun for me the last, what's it been, 4 months? I've been here 4 months,
yeah,
3 months,
that, yeah.
Through something like that, is I've spent so much time at rock radio stations, where when people call in, usually the first thing you hear at a rock station is, dude, that's generally the way most conversations start out. So it's always nice to talk to KMJ listeners who are informed, and I appreciate the fact that they would help me with my memory. Hair's the first thing to go. That went a long time ago. Memory's the second, and I felt bad I could not remember the name of that cemetery on the 5. And thank you, everyone who called. It's the San Joaquin National Cemetery at Santanella.
Yes.
Lots of proud Americans who gave their lives, sometimes in conflict, sometimes just afterwards, but all former service members buried at that cemetery. We have a family friend that is there, and it's a humble and it's just a humble place to go to. So that's, if you're out that way looking for something nice to do for someone in the military who served and is no longer with us, that could be a place that you visit.
So last week, we did spend a day, started a day, going to the Changing of the Guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier with Central Valley Honor Flight 25. And if somehow you aren't familiar with the layout, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is located like smack dab in the middle of Arlington National Cemetery. And there's about 400,000 people buried there. It's a 639-acre cemetery. So when you get through the gates of Arlington and you're driving to the Tomb of the Unknown, there will be a point in time where you have lost sight of Arlington. You've lost sight of civilization. And for several minutes, you will have been driving at residential neighborhood speeds through nothing but row after row of white marble headstone.
Mm.
It's a remarkable experience, and it really hits you with this sober reminder that there's a cost to what we have. One of the things that I was pleasantly surprised to see, Arlington's expanding.
The cemetery itself.
Yeah, they are. They're putting in bunk beds.
What?
I'm kidding.
What the heck?
Sorry. That was, I just, you were so serious for a second there.
You're suckering me on that one. Good job.
That was a joke. They are not putting in bunk beds. They are, however, physically expanding. They've actually acquired more land adjacent to the Air Force Memorial. Because the two are, you know, obviously right next door to each other.
Right.
So they've acquired more land. So now when you go to the Air Force Memorial, you're going to have more of that turf and more of that white marble spilling out to greet you. There's such a demand. It's such a matter of prestige and honor and respect to be buried at Arlington. And I don't know, as a president, as a member of Congress, as a United States senator, I don't know how you look at anybody, any family of somebody who gave that sacrifice for this country and say, yeah, sorry, we're full.
It's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. It's sad that we have to expand, but it's a good thing that we are.
Well, considering there's headstones in there that go back to the Civil War, they've made good use of the property to date. Now you know about there's actually Confederate soldiers at, this is not a joke, by the way, there are Confederate soldiers at Arlington. And so they have a headstone that's very similar to the simple white marble marker that the vast majority of folks interred at Arlington have. But Confederates, their markers being otherwise virtually identical, they don't have the rounded top. And that was a request made by a Confederate officer when learning that he was to be interred at Arlington. Don't round the top of my headstone. I don't want any damn Yankee getting too comfortable sitting on it.
Little Southern salt.
A little salt. And apparently it carried over. So the Confederates are differentiated by squared off headstones so that thou shalt not be comfortable coming to visit your northern next of kin.
A rebel till the end.
Those guys were cranky. All right. Coming back to town, coming back to the trials of life for a minute here. There is a new law that is circulating. It's a proposed bill that would ban blocking sidewalks in Fresno. It's specifically banning camping on the sidewalk in Fresno, homeless encampments on the sidewalk in Fresno, and they're trying to protect schools, daycare facilities, parks, and they're actually trying to reduce encroachment on established homeless shelters.
It's the right thing to do.
But the poverty pimps say it's not. The poverty pimps say that you're infringing on the right of the homeless to do whatever they damn well please by sleeping half naked in the middle of a sidewalk in front of a daycare.
Yeah, no, doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. I live in a pretty, you know, typical suburban Fresno neighborhood. And this week I've noticed two spots where people are camping on the sidewalk. I've never seen that before in my neighborhood. And so it doesn't surprise me that this is starting. It doesn't do people any good to be out like that. There's a difference between freedom of movement and camping. I mean, vagrancy laws are there for a reason. And people who live in neighborhoods have rights also.
Yeah.
It is not just about someone who's, you know, out in the wild, so to speak, doing what they want for whatever reason they're homeless. No one gets to call all the shots like that. No one has the right to devalue someone else's property or make them feel unsafe, particularly around schools or daycares or things of that nature.
Well, and I think that it really goes to the damaged, outrageous sense of entitlement, not in everybody in and attached to the homeless community. There are people who are there because of mental illness. There are people who are there helpless because of a drug addiction. And there are people in the community trying in earnest to help the homeless to break away from that condition. Unfortunately, there's also bums and junkies, criminal vagrants, and there's poverty pimps. And it's not the lady who lost her job during the pandemic, who finally exhausted all of her options and is living in her car because she couldn't make her rent, and what she needs is a break, and she'll be a contributing member of society again. That was never the problem. The kind of person who looks around sees, I mean, a perfect example in my mind is William Saroyan Elementary in Stallion Park. You've got great access to that new Target. You've got a nice, quiet neighborhood that gives you a straight shot back there. You've got a beautiful park, a ponding basin, an elementary school, all in close proximity to each other. And with that, both bathroom facilities and a certain measure of privacy, you're also completely surrounded by homeowners, people who want to be able to take their kids to school or to the park in peace and not feel threatened and not worry about disease and not worried about their kid getting poked with a needle or stepping in human waste. But these people feel entitled to encroach on that, to take that away from the rest of us because they themselves don't care and don't want to participate in society. They don't care that the people who live next to Selma Lane Park take pride in their neighborhood and love their community and want it to be a clean, safe, respected place. They're going to get up underneath that awning and you and your kid can go to hell. I live here now. And all of my junk and all of my garbage and needles and scrapped up tinfoil can just pile up on the picnic benches. You don't need them anyways. You got a house.
Well, that attitude exists. I've talked about this before, but I spent 8 years working in three different downtown locations and the Tower District. And every day I engaged, I shouldn't say every day, but almost every day, certainly twice a week, I was engaging with a homeless person in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Oftentimes because they were doing something in the front of the business or to the side of the business that I was responsible for. And all homeless people are not the same. I mean, you can divide them into about half a dozen categories. But there is definitely an element there of people who have just checked out. They are living that lifestyle because they're trapped in drug addiction, or they've never received help for their mental illness.
Well, and I think Clint Olivier really kind of split it, because you're talking about there's about a half dozen different categorizations that you could apply. In my mind, I think that you can actually break that down into two subgenuses. Homeless. These are people who, through mental illness or addiction or circumstances beyond their control, have found themselves in a situation from which they wish to be rescued and from which they will gladly accept a hand up to improve their life. And the other one is the criminal vagrant. And this is a person who doesn't give a damn and refuses to participate in society.
And there's a fair number of those. Keep in mind, when you see a homeless person, they are there, for the most part, by their choice from the standpoint of there are shelters that they could go to. Now, do the shelters sometimes fill up and there's no openings? Yes, that does happen. But I've encountered dozens of these people who will not go to the shelter. It's their own choice to wander around and do whatever the heck they think they want to do.
And this is where, as we expand real meaningful mental health care, and as we expand housing options, and as we continue to expand actual meaningful treatment for addiction, the homeless, the people who, because of circumstances frequently beyond their control or health concerns that are no fault of their own, ended up without a place to live. As we continue to get those people into a better situation, more and more of what's on the streets going to be the criminal vagrant. And I'm okay telling them, you don't get to set up shop in front of my kid's school.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother.
That's E. Curtis Johnson. I'm Philip Teresi. It's your afternoon drive at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ online. You're going to find us at KMJnow.com.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. This is the Afternoon Drive. That's Philip Teresi. My name is E. Curtis Johnson. We kind of like to introduce a topic and maybe carry it over to the top of the hour, get some input. It has to do with California hospitals, well, needing a bailout. This is a Fresno Bee article. I don't know that in all cases it's necessarily a bailout, and I don't want to pick nits with certain words. But there's one part about the argument, for lack of a better term, that oftentimes is not known. So when you hear a headline like this, again, California hospitals seek a broad bailout from lawmakers, but they don't all need it. It pollutes the water a little bit. It makes it sound like that all hospitals are in the same shape, which they aren't. It also does not take into account Medi-Cal and Medicare payments that oftentimes go to hospitals, which if they're managed by California, they're almost always late. And so in some of these instances, hospitals are running short on funds because they have to take patients in who cannot pay for themselves, so they're in under Medi-Cal, but it can take Medi-Cal sometimes anywhere from 90 to 180 days to pay.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you about, because we've heard a little bit about the Medi-Cal reimbursement system in two very different contexts. One has been the reporting on community hospitals using funds that originated as Medi-Cal reimbursements. So this wasn't a gift. It wasn't a bailout. It wasn't a loan. It wasn't a grant. It was the state of California paying back community hospitals for services that they provided to Medi-Cal patients. And then community hospitals didn't allocate that money where it was made. They a lot of that money came from CRMC and its compensation for services provided there. But they're using some of that money to expand the Clovis campus. And there's people who are raising Cain about that because, oh my God, you're taking money from poor people and giving it to rich people. Well, no, this is a for-profit business who was compensated for providing services already, using the money that they earned doing that the way that they feel best benefits this for-profit entity. The other one is the Madera Community Hospital. And here you have a hospital that is serving a much larger percentage of low-income people and a much larger percentage of Medi-Cal patients. And we're still learning about the whole picture. There's more to the Madera Community Hospital story than just Medi-Cal reimbursement, but absolutely that slow turnaround is one of the things that has created the financial situation they're in, is it not?
Well, it is, and I've never worked for the community system. I cannot speak for them. And again, I've never worked for a hospital either, but I've worked at 8 nursing homes. The payment methods are a little different, but the finances are close enough. And here's the answer to the blowback of, oh my gosh, you're taking money from poor people and sending it to rich people in Clovis. No, they're channeling money through the community system.
Yeah,
they were using it in Clovis to take on patients that can generate income that in the bottom line of the company is going to compensate for all the freebies that are happening in the emergency room at Clovis Community, at Fresno Community downtown. If you go into the emergency room in the downtown, you can be literally in line on a gurney in a hallway for up to 3 days. That's not an exaggeration. I know someone who has experienced that. Up to 3 days before you're even in a room. That's because the system is overloaded. That is not community's fault.
No, I don't think that it is.
And so if you're making money at one part of your organization so that you can help out another part, that's just good financial management. That's not rich against the poor. That's the way business works. If you increase your revenue stream in one part of your operation so you can help out another part, that's a tide that rises all boats.
And yet we're seeing a very powerful messaging coming across that says there are shortfalls that require an infusion from the state of $1.5 billion. And we'll talk a little bit about how real that is and how that's being positioned when we get back, but we are up against a break. And when we come back, Jim Miller's got an update of headlines. We're going to talk about that $1.5 billion compensation proposal that's in circulation. That's E. Curtis Johnson. I'm Philip Teresi. It's your afternoon drive at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.